This is She is Radiant, the podcast where we embrace motherhood in all of its radiance. Hello and welcome back. I'm Janaea McClure, your host. I am so happy that you're with me today. Thank you for your patience. This is episode 4 of season 2. Happy New Year. It has been a hot minute since I've gotten in front of the microphone to do a podcast episode for you guys, but we are here today and that's all that matters. We're going to go through a few things today. I'm going to talk about my pumping journey so far. It's actually come to a close since we last spoke, and I want to walk through a few of the things that I have enjoyed most about my pumping journey with our third baby, going through things like my favorite pumps, tips and tricks, and what I would do differently if we were to have another baby, but I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon or at all. Then we're going to go into a topic that is pretty sensitive to a lot of people, and it's something that I was talking about this week on my Instagram, and that's postpartum loneliness. It's a topic that not a lot of people talk about so openly because it is such a contradictory thing to think about, being lonely during a period of time in your life where it's so beautiful, your family is growing, you have a new baby. But it can actually be one of the more lonely experiences that you go through as a woman and a new mom. And then we will go through some questions from my latest TMI Monday that I didn't get through this past Monday. So I'm so happy you're here. Thank you for being with me. And I would love to open up this episode in prayer. I would love to pray for you if you are here with me watching or listening, wherever you are. I'm just so grateful that you're here spending the time with me. So let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for my sister that she's here with me virtually, wherever she's at, if she's in her car, if she's at work, if she's heads down trying to get some stuff done or doing chores around the house. Thank you for putting it on her heart to share space today with me in this podcast episode. I ask that you bring abundance and blessing to her family and that you bless her today and you bless her whole family. And if she's going through anything that she needs help with or she needs help carrying the load and the pressures of being a busy mom, a busy working mom, please be with her and help her with whatever load she needs to have carried. Thank you for the testimony that we'll have today and the real life talk that we will go through and everything that you meant to be here during this podcast episode, Lord. Thank you so much. And we praise your name always in your name. Amen. All right. So let's get started. Just a quick update for you guys since we were last here in November. I think the last episode I did was with Maurice on our couch downstairs. As you can see, I have a little bit change of scenery. I'm in my bedroom because the lighting is just much better in here. So I figure I might as well just move it up here and then we'll see how it goes. Since the last time we spoke, I am no longer pumping. A lot of my content in the last 6 months has been around my breastfeeding and pumping journey as a third time mom. And honestly, being able to share that journey with everyone on social media has been really great in terms of how productive it's been. It's been a really rewarding experience to be able to see that the information that I have learned over 3 breastfeeding journeys has been so valuable for so many women. And I learned a lot about what works best for me and what doesn't work well for me while pumping this breastfeeding journey. It's now come to a close, so I'm no longer pumping. I'm still breastfeeding. I decided to stop pumping because my body was really just telling me that it was time. So I don't know if anyone remembers, but I actually had an injury on my breast. My son bit me, and that really made for a really horrible pumping experience after that. My milk supply definitely took a hit because of that. And so I was just listening to my body, listening to what it was trying to tell me, and it was just time to stop. I wanted to put the majority of my time and my effort into prolonging my breastfeeding journey. And so that's exactly what I did in the decision to stop pumping. So I think for this breastfeeding journey, I pumped a total of, I think, 7.5 or 8 months, which is great. I really enjoyed it this time around. Pumping for a lot of women is a love-hate relationship. For me, it has been mostly a hate relationship, but this time around, I have definitely learned to love it more. I think it's because I've been sharing it so openly and knowing that so many women can relate to the pumping experience has made it more of a solidarity thing. Like, it's definitely been like misery for sure loves company. And it's not that it's a miserable thing. It is a blessing to be able to produce and sustain nutrition for your baby. But man, it is just so rough sometimes feeling like you're hooked up to the wall 24/7 with no breaks. You need to do it every few hours. It's really exhausting. It takes a toll on your body. You feel like you can never really go anywhere without the proper tools, of course. Being able to wind down that journey and just focus solely on prolonging my breastfeeding journey and nursing has been a breath of fresh air. It definitely took a toll on me emotionally as I stopped pumping because I had to replace those pumping sessions with just offering the breast more. I had to increase the amount of times that I would nurse or offer the breast to my son to replace what I was doing with pumping and bottle feeding. So now it's definitely more about prolonging the breastfeeding journey as long as we can until baby boy is officially done. And I have a feeling that's going to be very soon. So when I think about my pumping journey the third time around, third time child, you really kind of go into it like you know what to expect, you know what you're doing, and now you can really kind of fine tune to make things as productive and as effective as possible. One of my friends, she is studying to be a lactation consultant. I had learned from her that you actually produce more milk with every subsequent child. And I definitely felt that in my third time breastfeeding journey with my son Kenzo. So being able to be so fruitful in milk production and be able to take those tips and tricks and share those things with everyone has been wonderful. And it feels like I was able to spread that love as much as I could through things like milk donation, also building a great foundation and stash for my son once we stop breastfeeding, which I know is going to be so soon. And I'm very emotional about it. He is showing signs of self-weaning, and not a lot of people agree that self-weaning is a thing, but every single one of my kids has done it. And while they're so different, they definitely have their similarities and what they have shared, and they all started self-weaning around the same time, plus or minus a couple months. With that said, let's talk through some of the most effective things that have worked for me in my third time pumping journey with our third baby. So one of the things that's made my pumping journey this time so successful is not relying on a singular pump. And I think a lot of women are under the misconception that you should only invest in one pump and that's going to be your go-to all the time. I actually, this time around, found that having a primary pump and a secondary pump has really worked the best for me. So the primary pump for me was just the basic pump provided by insurance, and it's the pump that I was able to plug into a wall. And some people might disagree, but the most effective pump that you will have will be one that you can plug into a wall and not one that you can wear or be portable 24/7. However, there are some really, really effective wearable pumps, one I'm going to talk about today, that is almost as effective as a wall-plugged hospital-grade pump. So my Medela was that girl, was my ride or die, all three breastfeeding journeys. I got an updated one for this pumping journey with our third. And it's without fail, always, always given me the most output. It's no frills, not complicated. You know what to do. Just measure the correct flange size and you are off to the races. So having a primary pump that you can plug into a wall is always going to be the number one pump you should rely on. Now, secondary, because you can't be plugged into a wall the whole time, if you are able to do so, relying on a secondary pump that allows you to live your life as you please. So a lot of people know I work at home, so I am working upstairs in my office. I'm also doing things around the house for my kids. And sometimes I just don't have time to go downstairs and sit in the kitchen and be plugged into a wall for 20 minutes. I just don't have that kind of time. So having a secondary pump that you can rely on for those very important life scenarios that will give you almost the same effect and be just as effective as your hospital pump, with, you know, some exceptions here and there, is so, so important. You can also use it for things like going out and running errands, going to the grocery store, going to sit at kids' sports games. Life should not stop because you're a breastfeeding mom or a pumping mom. It should not. And I think leaning into that so much more this breastfeeding journey has made all the difference. So in the spirit of that, I have brought with me today my favorite portable pump that I used all throughout my third breastfeeding journey and pumping journey. And it is the Mom Cozy V1 Pro. Mom Cozy has been so gracious to send me another one. And I'm going to actually be giving this away and announcing the winner of this giveaway at the very end of this episode. But I do want to kind of walk through why I loved this pump so much. So some wearable pumps you'll see are fully self-contained and you can wear it completely. It'll be completely hidden and completely discreet. This is kind of a happy medium between one that you plug into a wall and one that's self-sustained as its own cup. The cup contains the battery, the motor, and the cup that collects the breast milk. This V1 Pro has your collection cups, but it also has the tubing that connects to a standalone unit that you charge. So this standalone unit is something that you can hold and carry around. And you can put it in your pocket, you can hang it on your wrist, and you charge this. And I found that the standalone unit that you can carry with you while it's being connected to these two cups that you wear is just given so much more power to the pumping process compared to other wearable pumps on the market. So I have enjoyed this so much. I called it my go-to work from home pump, but I've also taken it out into the world with me to run errands. And it's such a clean and compact unit and it's so great. Let's open it right now together and I'll kind of walk through my favorite parts about this pump. I love opening new packaging. Okay, so this is what the standalone unit looks like. It's very sleek. It's very cute. She's pink. She's cute. We love her. And what you do, you charge it right at the end right here. You turn it on. It's got three modes. It's got your stimulation, your combo, and then your expression. It comes with all your flange sizes. And then the cups themselves look like this. So cute. You plug it right into the standalone unit. Right here, you wear them, and then this is what it looks like all together. And what I love about these, especially when I would use them, you can see that compared to the self-contained wearable pumps that would have the motor itself attached to these cups, they're just a lot smaller, and I appreciate that while not compromising on capacity. So these hold 7 ounces of milk each. They're super light and compact, and having the tubing, I found had just made for a much more powerful experience while I'm doing things like chores or working upstairs or just doing the things I need to do to live my life without being plugged into the wall downstairs. So I will be giving this brand new pump away at the very end of this episode. Thank you so much to Mom Cozy for giving us one to give away to a new mom in our community. So aside from having a primary and a secondary pump to rely on for different scenarios, I think something else that's made my pumping journey the third time around so, so successful is having a routine for myself set for bagging and storing milk. So I would collect my milk using my pump, my milk collectors, my Hakas, my Boone Troves, and then I would collect it all in a singular pitcher over a 4-day period. So it made it a little more doable to bag and label my milk for the freezer for any excess milk that I had produced outside of what my son needed, and made it a little more doable and approachable compared to doing it every single day. So over a 4-day period, I would collect milk, keep it in the fridge, and then I would have one day, that fourth day, where I would set aside an hour, measure everything exact, 5 to 8 ounce bags, measure it out perfectly, and then bag everything all at once, label it, put it in the freezer, and then I don't have to think about it again for 4 days. The amount of time bagging and storing and organizing milk takes is so long, and it gets so tedious and really annoying, and you're like, what am I doing with my time here? But having a 4-day system on a rotation makes it so much more approachable and so much more doable. So I definitely recommend finding a system or something that works for you that isn't so time consuming as doing it every single day. The last thing to me that sticks out that made my pumping journey so successful was finding a good schedule for myself that didn't drive me absolutely crazy and sticking to it. Because a lot of times in my past journeys, I would overpump or I would underpump, and then either way, I would feel really, really awful. So I'd be engorged, or I'd feel like I wasn't doing anything with my day but pumping. Finding a happy medium that still promoted strong milk production and milk supply while also minimally interfering with my life as much as it was a part of my life made the most sense for me. So at my peak, I think I was pumping 6 or 7 times a day, which sounds like a lot. But once I figured out a good schedule for myself and stuck to it, it made it way more approachable. Instead of having those pumping sessions surprise me, I just always had a good expectation of my schedule. And I knew, okay, it's 11 o'clock, time to pump. It's 3 o'clock, time to pump. It's 7 o'clock, time to pump. So getting a schedule that you don't hate and sticking to it as much as possible makes it a way more approachable and easy experience, especially if you're a first-time pumping mom. A question that I get a lot is, when my baby starts sleeping through the night, should I continue pumping in the middle of the night? And it is such a tricky question because, first of all, your kid's sleeping through the night, that is amazing. So that means, should you start taking advantage of those extra hours of sleep? And honestly, the answer is whatever works best for you. If you haven't been sleeping and you think you can maintain your milk supply with a modified schedule and still get your sleep, that should be your answer right there. So with my son, when he started sleeping through the night, I kept my middle of the night pump because I was getting adequate sleep in between that. And I looked at that time in the middle of the night as an extra hour I could get to myself. And you know, I would listen to a podcast or I would watch a show and I would just count that as my me time. And then eventually when I did want to really have that long stretch of sleep and I was ready to drop that middle of the night pump, adjusting my bedtime and my wake hours accordingly so that I could still focus on my milk supply while also giving myself the sleep that I knew I deserved. So that was going to bed at like 10:30 and pumping right before bed, so pumping around 10:15, and then waking up around 4:30 or 5. I know that sounds so early, but that still technically would be like a middle of the night pump where it was also my wake up time. So I would have that good 5-6 hour stretch of sleep that I wasn't getting before with that middle of the night pump, once I decided to drop that and adjust my schedule accordingly. So I would recommend finding a schedule that you can tolerate and that you enjoy, that allows you to prioritize breast milk production, breastfeeding, and pumping, but doesn't interfere with your life in a way that's going to drive you crazy or stress you out or just make it seem way too much or way overly pressured. Finding that schedule that works for you. a lot of women will ask me, well, how often should I pump? And honestly, it really depends on your baby's needs. So if your baby is eating every few hours or eating every 4 or 5 hours and you're pumping in place of nursing, or your baby's taking a bottle and that's how often they're taking a bottle, I would recommend mimicking your baby's needs and whenever you pump. So if you're going back to work and you don't know what your pumping schedule at work should be, replace feeding sessions with pumps. So think about pumping as, this is when my baby would eat, or this is when my baby would eat, and making that kind of your anchor to how often you should pump or what your pumping schedule should look like. Now, that is going to be different compared to increasing your milk supply or wanting to rebound a bit. So you might throw in an extra session here and there because you might want to be increasing your milk production, or maybe you were sick and you kind of want to throw in a power pumping session here and there. But just generally speaking, mimic what your baby does in terms of their eating and feeding schedule. Next up, let's talk about our topic of the week, postpartum loneliness. I wanted to talk about this because it's been on my heart and my mind lately to talk to new moms about a very fragile and sensitive experience that you have as a postpartum mom. You just got home from the hospital with your new baby. You are surrounded by friends and family. Your spouse is being super supportive. You are likely the least alone that you've ever been in your life. You have your brand new baby. It is such a beautiful time. So you're the least alone that you've ever been in your life, and yet you feel so lonely. It's such a contradicting and confusing experience that makes you feel like, why do I feel this way? Why are these feelings consuming me? Why is loneliness consuming me? And it is the worst feeling to feel like you are in a really dark spot while you're surrounded by so much light and love. It almost makes you feel like you are ashamed or embarrassed for feeling this way because your situation looks the exact opposite. It's such a wonderful time for your family. You're growing your family. Your baby's here. They are learning the world. They're learning you. They're learning your spouse. And I've felt certain degrees of lonely with every postpartum experience. For a lot of women, it is the first baby that definitely takes the most toll on them because you really have no idea what to expect. You can prepare all you want. You've got the perfect registry. You've got the nursery set up. You've got your ideal, like everything ideal in this little box. And then you come home and it is exactly the opposite of what you expected. Your hormones are all over the place. You are transitioning into a new life that you've thought about so much about what it would be like. And then when you're actually living it and going through those day-to-day motions and trying to find your groove, there is a lot of loneliness in that. And it can feel a little bit scary and daunting. Like, why do I feel this way? And for me, I've found that it's because of a few things. And I think it's hard because having a husband as supportive and loving as mine is, it makes me feel like, oh my gosh, is there something wrong with me? I have this perfect setup. We're figuring this out together. And yet I feel like he cannot relate to me at all in any of this. My friends can't relate to me at all in any of this. My family are so far removed from this time in their lives. And I feel like I am bearing this huge load on my shoulders that's so unexplainable. It's so unexplainable. And you feel like you are the only one that all of this falls to, because it really is. In those early months, and my husband was talking about this in the last episode, where he kind of felt like, you know, what is my role? Why I'm just kind of the outside looking in. I think it's in a similar way. It's the opposite. You are the inside looking out. You are the all consuming, all the responsibility falls to you because the baby is only ever known mom. And so baby only ever wants mom at this time. So you are responsible for physically sustaining this child up at all hours of the night, feeding and creating the nourishment that this baby needs, especially for breastfeeding moms. These feelings of loneliness manifest themselves, and it is such a dark time at times because you can feel a little guilty for feeling this way because you are in such a joyous time in your life, but you also are still moving into a completely different version of what your life now is. And that transition is not looked at for what it is as much as it should be. It is hard. It is a challenge for sure. And it is normal. And although it is normal, I don't think that's an excuse to accept those feelings. And so that's where I think it gets to be a bit tricky because, you know, some women might go through postpartum and say, well, I'm supposed to feel this way. I'm supposed to feel anxious and depressed and hopeless. And sure, while that can be normal for a time, it should not be prolonged. And I think accepting that that's your new reality is where it gets to the point where it can be dangerous and unhealthy. And so postpartum loneliness and baby blues should only ever be temporary. It should be something you adjust through, but you require support through to kind of push out of that and get through that period. So any kind of prolonged depression or loneliness to the point of hopelessness is something that should always be carefully considered and worked through with either a medical professional or with professional support, because it's normal to feel postpartum loneliness, it's not something that should be permanent. Those types of things can lead to way more dangerous things, not just for you, but for your baby too. So you're not alone in feeling those feelings of loneliness through your postpartum journey, especially in those early months. Something that's helped me through those early months of feeling lonely is vocalizing when I feel those things. And it seems kind of silly in the moment. I remember when I brought home all three of my kids. It's weird. I saw a TikTok on this a few weeks ago. It was like postpartum moms when the sun goes down. And it's just like this is like image of the tears just rolling down. I think it was like the crying cat. But it was totally me. Every time the sun would set, it was just all hell would break loose emotionally for me. I would be in my feelings so much. I couldn't explain why. I was just waterworks, just pure waterworks, just tears. I was so sad, felt so blue, felt so alone. My husband would be like, what's wrong? Like, let me help you. And I'm like, I don't know what's wrong. If I knew, I would tell you. But the loneliness for sure had something to do with that. So for me, I think it was just like dreading those nights and dreading the fact that I wouldn't sleep and that it would just be me throughout those nights. And I would want my husband to get sleep. I would want him to get sleep and obviously help when he could and do the changes at night. But man, especially during those weeks of cluster feeding and establishing breastfeeding, you really are the only one self-sustaining that in the moment, and it feels so alone. I mean, what are you going to do? Call someone at 3 a.m? It's definitely a hard time for sure. And I think looking back, when you're out of it, when you're on the other end, you will look back on those moments somewhat in a fond way because you'll never get those moments back. And so thankfully, it was like, in one way, it's like, thank God I won't be back there. But also, those are really the most precious and fragile times you'll spend with your baby. Just you two up against the world in the middle of the night, just figuring it out and not knowing if you're going to make it on the other side. But if you do, we'll look back on it together. So looking back on those moments, I just know I'm going to wake up one day and just want one more night like that. Just one more night of that lonely isolation, because in that also exists that really special one-on-one bond that you're never really going to get back in that same capacity, in that same environment. Postpartum is such a fragile time for you and for baby. And so I just encourage you that if you're feeling those feelings of loneliness and you or your partner or anyone recognizes that it's getting to a spot where it's not healthy, to seek help and to do things to shake up your days and have, you know, tell your friend, like, I need you to come over and just sit with me. Like, I don't need you to even do anything. Just come and sit and let's watch some reality TV. Let's order in. Let's go get some takeout and just sit with me. Throwing in some kind of sense of normalcy will allow you to navigate such a new life experience with some type of familiarity. And we can't just put it all on, you know, our people to read and expect, because they may very well not be able to relate to it. This is something that they've either not been through, or it's been so long since they've been through it. So I really encourage you that in those really hard days of feeling socially isolated or feeling so far removed, to just do not be embarrassed. Just call out that you're really not doing so hot. You're feeling alone and that you need something. And if it's not social presence, if you really don't want to be around anybody, go on a walk, find 20 minutes in your day to take a bath, to do something for yourself that might break up that loneliness, that lonely feeling a little bit. So yeah, I just encourage you to get through it and extend your arms for support as much as you can. So I hope that is helpful. It is not something that I take lightly, the postpartum loneliness feeling. It can be a really scary feeling if you're not calling it for what it is. It is temporary though. I promise it's temporary, and it is going to get so much better once you settle into life with your new family and your new baby. Now I think it's time we take a look at some of the remainders of my TMI Mondays. So I started this new thing on my Instagram called TMI Mondays, where I just put out a question box and allow anyone to ask anything they want, no matter how TMI, or share anything TMI about what's happening in their lives or what's going on, what's the hot goss. So I didn't get through all of them this past Monday, so I kind of want to read a few and I can just provide a little commentary on it. And tune in every Monday for TMI Mondays on my Instagram. And this is all going to be anonymous, by the way. Okay. Returning to work next week after 6 months of leave. Don't want to leave my baby and two toddlers. Ugh, returning to work is the hardest thing. It is the hardest thing, especially 6 months. That is great. That is great, especially for the US. That is a great amount of time. And I imagine 6 months, you've really found that new routine only for it to be broken up by going back to work. Ugh, I'm so sorry. I've done this 3 times, and all 3 times it just doesn't get easier going back to work and leaving your babies. It is really hard. I will tell you this, going back to work after having kids has really been a blessing in disguise for how I look at my corporate job. And I say this not a blessing in disguise as in I'm leaving my kids. It's if I need to continue to work, or if you need to continue to work to provide for your family. Once you have a child, you look at everything differently. It's like that child has now taken the first place spot in your life. and everything else just doesn't matter as much anymore. And that sounds like it's not an aha, that's a duh thing. But when you really start living that, it is really bizarre, because especially if you used to be an overachiever or a people pleaser or someone that didn't really set great boundaries, and now you're forced to undo all of those things or set better boundaries for all of the things that you used to hold in such high regard, it is kind of a trip. It's kind of a trip. It's going to feel uncomfortable. It's going to feel like, oh, am I still doing a good job at my job? Like, yes, you are. You also just have something way more important than your job now to worry about. And so you have to challenge yourself a bit into like, what kind of role, or what do you see your job as? Your job is not some beacon that you put on a pedestal. It's how you pay your bills to spend time with your family. And after you spend some time adjusting back to work and figuring out what those new boundaries are, it actually is very, very freeing to know that this job will never be more than that to me anymore. And for as long as I need to work in this job or work in this role, I will do my job. I will do a great job, but this job will never win. It'll never win. So I, just like the transition into having a child, transitioning back into your job is going to take some time. Be patient with yourself, but know that you are transitioning into a spot where you view your job and your career very, very differently than what you used to. And maybe not. Maybe, you know, there's nothing wrong with going back into, you know, prioritizing your career in a way that makes you happy. But I think almost every parent will agree with me that your career and your role will look and feel very differently to you when you go back into it. But the second part of your admission here is that you don't want to leave your children. It really is tough. It's really, really hard. And it's a transition for them too. But my encouragement to you is, if your goal is to eventually not work a traditional job anymore, start finding ways that you can supplement that. Or if you want to scale back and only work part-time, what are some of the things you can do while spending time with your kids, whether it's starting a business or if it's being able to find income in different ways. There are a lot of ways to get creative. And if that is a goal that you want for your family and that's very important to you, then make it so. Start chipping away at that and make little steps towards that goal. It's definitely a goal of mine, and it's something that I probably will be more comfortable talking about in future episodes. So stay tuned, and I hope you have a great transition back into work. All right, exclusively breastfeeding my 5-month-old baby, but he is reaching for food. Should I start puree? If I do, is there a schedule? Aha, so exciting. Baby's reaching for your food. Yeah, don't hold back on the food. Don't hold back. If your baby is developmentally ready and they are showing signs of interest, then lean into that interest for sure. And your question is whether you should start puree. It's totally up to you. You all have heard my opinion on this. There's so much information out there about how to feed your kids. I don't think there is a wrong way to feed your kids. Like, there really, really isn't. We've done puree only. We've done baby-led weaning only, like we're doing now. We've done a combination of both. They're eventually going to know how to eat. So there's no right or wrong way to do something. If your baby is interested in eating, just try something. Just try it. Just maybe give them, let them nom on your food. Whatever you're holding, let them try it. You could try, you know, with basic steamed fruits and vegetables. You could try puree. You could do oatmeal. You could do eggs. Do whatever you want to do. Schedule-wise, I don't recommend like having a super strict schedule. I recommend allowing your baby to have meals at the same time that you do and introduce foods that way. So your baby's 5 months old, and all the way up into a year, it should really be about exploring and learning how to eat and trying new flavors, trying new things, and making it really fun. So have meals together, don't put much pressure on it, let them watch you eat. Babies learn by watching and doing. So just get fun with it. Try a bunch of different things and a bunch of different textures. And yeah, go from there. I'm really excited for you. Mom of a 3-year-old and 5-month-old twins. Oh my gosh. I just feel like I'm suffocating with everything. Caring for 3, pumping, cooking, cleaning. I just wish things were easier. Oh my gosh. I hear you on this. Twins, man, that is an experience. My goodness, I admire you so much. I cannot even fathom the type of demand that is on you. You have 3 under 3 with your twins. That is wild. What a blessing, though, to be able to have a house full. And it sounds like you are going through so many different responsibilities. I wish things were easier too. My encouragement and my advice to you is start finding the things that you can just let be. This is like coming into such a huge shift in your life. You gotta look for the things that you can just let be. And if you are a type A person, I know it's especially hard, but you got to find those things that can just be done. You can let sit, and you can let fester, and you can let someone else do it, and you can let them do it when they have time. Because if you don't, then you will not be living. You will be existing, and that's not what I want for you. So try and find those things, little things in your day. If you're doing something, look at it and say, do I need to be doing this right now, or can I be doing something else? Can I be doing something that prioritizes my kids and me? Can I save this for later? Can my husband do it? Can my friends do it if they come over later? All right, let's do one more. 7.5-month-old nursing strike will play with breast, bra, laugh, or fuss. Ah, so it could certainly be a nursing strike. Around this age, and honestly, any age in infancy, babies go through developmental growth spurts where they just hit a new milestone, or they start discovering things that they hadn't discovered before. And just about everything in their life is way more interesting than breastfeeding. And I've gone through so many nursing strikes. We just went through another one while we're still in the process of weaning. Yeah, sometimes they will yank, they will look around, and they will not want to eat even when it's time to eat. So my advice to you is to hang in there, continue offering as normal, and make your environment as least stimulating as possible. So if you feed baby every time they wake up, feed baby in that same sleeping environment. So if the room is dark, if there's white noise, if the blinds are down, try to nurse in that environment and make it the most boring that you can make it, the least interesting, nothing stimulating, nothing overstimulating. Make it so that the most interesting thing is in the room is your boob. And it's especially hard if you're out in the world or outside, or you're even in a bright room, because they're just going to be so intrigued with everything else around them, especially if they're going through that type of developmental growth spurt. So before we close out episode 4 for today, let's give away the Mom Cozy V1 Pro to one lucky listener, one lucky follower. Thank you so much for supporting me and continuing to support my podcast and my page. I'm so happy to be able to do stuff like this, and I will continue to do stuff like this, like giveaways, freebies, PR. And just a quick plug for my Radiant Women community. If you go onto my IG at Janaea McClure and you join my Radiant Women community, it's $4.99 a month. You get prioritized DMs, prioritized videos, voice memos. I will prioritize all messages from my subscribers. And I do also do phone calls or anything you need in terms of support, I'm here for you. Anything motherhood related, I prioritize my subscribers in my DMs and in anything that they need for support. And why that's related to this, I get PR all the time and I do PR freebie giveaways to my subscribers. Probably once a month, I will start collecting PR that I get from brands and anything that we can't use for our family or things that I think my community could benefit from more, I give away to my Radiant Women community on a rotational basis. So without further ado, let's pick a winner of the Mom Cozy V1 Pro breast pump. Okay, so I'm going to do a random generator of winners. Thank you to all who entered. And the winner of our giveaway is Ambercita Cross. Congratulations, Amber. Amber Enriquez, if this is you, you have won the Mom Cozy V1 Pro breast pump. I will be reaching out to you directly. Thank you guys, as always, for tuning in to She Is Radiant. I cannot wait for the next episode. We will see you next time. Bye.